just some thoughts. I'm going to read from Luke 2:25 and the verses following, where it says this: "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled." An amazing story. It was just another day in hot Jerusalem under Roman occupation. It had been about 400 years since the last prophet had prophesied, Malachi. And nothing significant had happened. They were under Roman occupation. But obviously, the Roman occupation didn't ruin Simeon's relationship with the Redeemer, with God. And what no one else personally recognized at that time, Simeon recognized. It was just an ordinary day. But it says, the scripture says, he was a devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I don't think it was a passive waiting. The Lord spoke to him and said he wouldn't die until he had seen the Savior. And so if you don't know the word eschatology, it means the study of the last things. And I believe that Simeon was not a man who sort of speculated eschatologically. He didn't read commentaries on interpretations of the last day. What I want to say is this from this passage. Simeon was a man that walked with God. Simeon was a man that had a personal, daily, devotional relationship with God, in whom his interests were the same as God's interests, whose burden was the same as God's burden. He identified from his heart with the longings and eternal purposes of God in and through prayer. I believe he was a man of prayer. He didn't come into the temple that day because of some conspiracy theory he'd read or some book on eschatology that he had read about the advent of the Savior. Let me just say this. No one at his time, and no one living today, had we been alive before Christ's coming, not you, not I, not the greatest scholar alive today, had they been alive before Christ's coming, could have predicted what was going to happen when the Savior came. They were waiting for the Savior. For example, we know even the disciples, just before Pentecost, asked the Lord whether he'd establish the kingdom, whether they'd be freed from Roman occupation. They were expecting a king to be crowned in Jerusalem to reign in righteousness, that Jerusalem should become the center of the world, the Gentiles should flow unto it, the glory of the Lord should be revealed, the wolf would lay down with the lamb, the spears would be beaten into plowshares. That's what they expected. None of that happened. Who could have predicted that when the Savior came, he'd live for 30 years an ordinary life, have 3 years or so of ministry, be crucified, and then nothing. Outwardly, absolutely nothing. Romans still there, no kingdom established. That's what I put to you. No one was able to predict that. And none of us. There are scriptures, important scriptures, that eventually the disciples became aware of, and which the Lord Jesus had to open up to them. And I believe it's the same with the future, with the second coming. There is no one on earth who can present us with a blueprint, an interpretation of exactly what's going to happen. Just with the first advent, so with the second coming of Christ. Premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial, no one, I put it to you, no one has got the full picture. But by the purposes of wisdom of God, because our perception, understanding of these are meant to arise out of your and my personal walk and relationship with God day by day. As with Simeon, he had a burden for God's work on earth, for the glory of God's work on earth among his people, and he prayed. He came in. He was led by the Spirit. He came in as it happened on that day, we are told, by the Spirit. He recognized, because of his relationship, his personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he recognized the Savior. He recognized the coming of the Savior. Far more important than understanding any eschatological view or conspiracy theory is Matthew 25. We are to have our lamps, our vessels full of oil. We are to have such a relationship today that no circumstance can ruin. That's what I was thinking this morning. Nothing is meant to ruin my relationship with my Redeemer. No outlook of the future is meant to give me an emotionally glum outlook. Simeon walked with God. Simeon was a man of prayer. And for me, that's the message of this story. And to be as wise virgins who were instantly ready. The message is be ready, pray and watch. In the beginning of the Revelation, it doesn't say, blessed is he that reads and understands. It says, blessed is he that reads and keeps the words of this book. We are to know the scriptures through and through. They are to be our food. But God, I believe God, has not given us a blueprint of the future. And for what reason? He gives himself leeway so that you and I cannot relax back in some outlook, but that we root our relationship into him. That my roots go into this relationship with him that is deeper than any circumstance that comes my way, that I am ready when he returns. It is just a wonderful story. We know the spiritual situation of Israel at that time, and the scripture says, behold, there was a man. Behold, there was a man who walked with God. Behold, there was a man who prayed with God. Daniel read Jeremiah. Daniel knew that 70 years were to be appointed. Daniel did not sit back and say, praise the Lord, I have the eschatological outlook on what's going to happen. What did he do? He immediately humbled himself. He prayed. For weeks on end, identify himself with the burden of God, with the grief of God for his people. He identified with the purposes of God and prayed, even though he knew what the prophecy said. And it was the same with Simeon. Behold, there was a man that walked with God. Behold, there was a man that had a prayer life that could distinguish the signs of the time. None of your reading of books and commentaries will help you really distinguish the important timings in our lives and in in the world events. It is first and foremost my relationship with my Redeemer. Behold, there was a man who walked with God. It's wonderful when a city has a man like this. It's wonderful when a church has a man like this. It's wonderful when a city has a woman like Anna, who also came. She recognized it. She hadn't been reading commentaries. Okay, I do look into commentaries. So let's get that one clear. She hadn't been reading commentaries, brothers and sisters. She had such a relationship with Christ, sacrificially praying night and day. What a sacrifice is that? That she came by the Spirit. She recognized him. She knew that he was given for the salvation of the Gentiles. I say, praise the Lord, that he's made it simple. He's based everything on our relationship, not on head knowledge. To walk with God, to be someone, a person of prayer, to know him more than interpretations that people give of the scriptures. Amen. Thank you.